President Trump signed a proclamation creating new tariffs yesterday, despite opposition from many Republican leaders.
Today, I'm defending America's national security by placing tariffs on foreign imports of steel and aluminum. We will have a 25% tariff on foreign steel and a 10% tariff on foreign aluminum when the product comes across our borders.
As the president geared up for yesterday's actions, the stock market reacted badly and his top economic advisor resigned. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan was one of many Republicans raising concerns.
There is clearly abuse occurring. Clearly, there is overcapacity, dumping, and transshipping of steel and aluminum by some countries, particularly China. But I think the smarter way to go is to make it more surgical and more targeted. So I think 232 is a little too broad, and I think it's more prone to retaliation. And so what we're encouraging the administration to do is to focus on what is clearly a legitimate problem and to be more surgical in its approach so that we can go after the true abusers without creating any kind of unintended consequences or collateral damage.
Chris Farrell is with us now to take a closer look at these tariffs and what their consequences might be. He's a senior economics contributor for American Public Media's Marketplace and an economics commentator at Minnesota Public Radio. Chris, good to have you back.
Thanks to have me. Well, it's a pleasure.
The tariffs here are kind of a moving target. Now it sounds like Canada and Mexico might be exempted pending negotiations. Other allies might be able to negotiate something out of this. What do we know about tariffs as they stand right now?
Well, it's a little bit of a mess. And as you were in the news report saying earlier, there are Wisconsin companies that are looking for exemptions also from the tariff because they're relying on certain steel imports. So it's a moving target. It's raised a lot of confusion. But one way of thinking about the core of this issue is that it's alienated a lot of people, particularly in Europe and elsewhere around the world, Japan. And so this has sort of caused this consternation, this eruption of worry about the global trading system, even though, as you mentioned, I love the expression, it's a moving target. So who's going to have to pay this? How much is it? Is it really going to be an effect? Is it really a negotiating ploy for the North American Free Trade Agreement? I mean, all of that we'll see. But I think the clear impact of this is to alienate our trading allies.
And let's look at some of the consequences of that. We're hearing that the European Union, for example, is reaching into their bag of tricks for possible retaliation, including some products here in Wisconsin, the cranberries, the Harley Davidsons,
right.
Kentucky bourbon, homes of Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. I guess that's relevant.
Yep.
What kind of options does, say, an entity like the EU have here?
So that it's a very smart policy on their part because they're not declaring trade war. It's not across the board. And they're trying to, as you're mentioning, and these are also, not only is it because of Paul Ryan, Representative Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, it's also these are iconic American products. And so, it's a smart move, an attempt to try and limit the damage because no one really wants a trade war. And that is the big fear here, that something spirals out of control. And the other thing that is really disturbing a lot of people and a lot of the commentary, steel, aluminum, using the national security, what was it, Paul Ryan, the 232, this national security reasoning, you can put anything under national security, anything. And that's the way it's written. And that's one of these moving targets. That's one of the uncertainties that has been raised by this. They're using this national security justification, but you can use national security justification on almost any product or service. And so, again, how far is the administration going to push this? There's a lot of uncertainty.
Let's talk about that security angle a little more. Here's President Trump again talking about the tariffs.
This is not merely an economic disaster, but it's a security disaster. We want to build our ships. We want to build our planes. We want to build our military equipment with steel, with aluminum from our country. And now we're finally taking action to correct this long overdue problem. It's a travesty. Today, I'm defending America's national security by placing tariffs on foreign imports of steel and aluminum.
So with that idea you're expressing there, Chris, that anything can fit into this. So yeah. Our troops need uniforms so we could protect the textile industry. We need to feed people and the military so any food stuff could fall under that, for example.
Right. And this is the concern because you can just exactly what you're doing. Now, of course, you know, one reaction to that is, well, that's absurd. We wouldn't be doing that. But then again, what's the metric? What's the measure? And national security. So Greg Ip of the Wall Street Journal has a very nice piece. And if you really want to look at aluminum, it's bauxite. And bauxite is a critical ingredient toward aluminum. And it all comes in from overseas. So if you wanted to do a national security, it would be looking at bauxite. And I think that's part of how to understand what is going on with these tariffs. We're coming into the midterm elections. President Trump wants to shore up his base. These are popular in his base. And I think that, so from a purely political point of view, not political in Washington, D.C., not political in London or in Bonn, but political in terms of thinking of his base here in the United States, it's probably a fairly popular move despite all the upset in large parts of the global economy.
Talking to Chris Farrell from Marketplace with the latest on the tariffs proclaimed yesterday by President Trump on aluminum and steel. Chris, you've talked elsewhere about a possible consequence here. You say there is a real trade concern in the industries of the future. We're worried about China. We need allies on this. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, aluminum, steel, those are the great industries of the past, and they're wonderful industries today. But look at the future, you know, digital data, the robots, autonomous driving vehicles, the self-driving vehicles, artificial intelligence. And last July, China came out with this statement, 29 pages, I think it was, that by 2030, they wanted to have a $150 billion artificial intelligence industry, and they wanted to dominate this industry. And what China's doing is a program of mercantilist innovation. They're strongly protecting these highly innovative industries, and they're performing a sort of predatory actions overseas. Now, in order to combat that, the U.S. needs allies. We need the Europeans along with us. We need the Japanese along with us. We need the Latin American countries along with us in order to combat what is, you know, a real risk out there in the global system. So to me, that's the real political economic effect of these tariffs. Our allies are mad. And they don't trust us. And they think that we are just sort of walking away from this global trading system at a time when I think we need to protect, in the smart sense of the word, the global trading system, which, by the way, our Google, our Facebook, Apple, Amazon have flourished in.
And yesterday, Chris, a new version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership was signed by 11 U.S. trading allies. That includes countries like Australia, Canada, and Japan. United States was in it for most of the way, and now we're out. It was a big punching bag in the 2016 election for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump in particular. So this is a new and different and smaller Trans-Pacific Partnership. What do you make of it?
So what I make of it is that this is partially a statement by other countries saying to the U.S., well, okay, if you're not going to, you know, defend the system, we'll create other deals that don't include you. But this is really the risk. This is the risk that's going on right now, is that you look at the past 70 years, we've had this rule-based, market-based, multilateral global trading system, used to be with what we called GATT, and then now with the World Trade Organization. And there's all these free trade agreements. And I know you can put free trade in quotes, and that's always important to do. But nonetheless, lower tariffs, more trade, rule-based, market-based. And now what the U.S. seems to be doing is walking away from the system that it built. And other nations are saying, okay, if we're more on our own, then we are not going to participate as much in this system. And by the way, the United States benefits from this global trading system. So that's the risk to be concerned about with the tariffs. The actual tariffs themselves, probably not that important. They're really pretty small. But what is the bigger message in the tariffs themselves?
Chris, before I let you go, one concern about free trade, in quotes or not, yeah, is that any country is going to get some benefits from it, but there are going to be sectors of any country that are probably going to be hurt for it, that aren't as competitive in certain ways. Is one of the failings of the way, say, the United States has done trade that we haven't paid enough attention to those people who have literally lost their jobs because of foreign competition?
Absolutely. This is like the, this is so important that, you know, we have the commanding heights of our economy are saying free trade is good for you. And you're absolutely, but there are, and they, there are, you know, I don't like to use the word losers, but there are people on the wrong side of that trade. And so where is the training budgets? Where is the moving assistance? Where, you know, where is the help to get other jobs in other places? We've had an attitude of you're on your own. Hey, you lose your job. You're on your own. Go get another one. And most nations that are exposed to trading, heavy trading, they have these systems that help the workers find new jobs. By the way, tariffs, they don't help workers get new jobs. What the evidence shows is that most of the benefit of the tariff goes to shareholders and senior management, not the workers.
We'll leave it there for now, Chris. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
That's Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for American Public Media's Marketplace and an economics commentator for Minnesota Public Radio.